listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. I'm very pleased to say we're joined by Diana West, one of our favorites and regulars here at Secure Freedom Radio. She is, of course, a longtime syndicated columnist who is doing wonderful blogging these days at dianawest.net. I hope you have all committed to memory her two superb books, Death of the Grown-Up and American Betrayal, especially since the latter especially is so directly relevant to some of what's playing out as we speak. So it's always a pleasure to have her with us, but especially for that reason. Diana West, thank you for doing so.
Yes, thank you. Wonderful to be with you. And, you know, speaking of American Betrayal and what it documents, one important piece that's missing in the hysterics over Russian influence or collusion today is the object of that collusion. In other words, collusion to do what, or influence to bring about what, and what I think you always need to do in order to have a sensible conversation or examination of subversion in this vein is to actually have a subverted policy or a nation that flipped from democratic to communist or into the sphere of the offending country. I mean, this is what we are missing as a predicate of the entire notion that there's a criminal activity that needs to be exposed. I would just put that out there.
I think this is such an important point. Let me set the stage for this, though, Diana, with you for the purposes of level setting, shall we say, about this current investigation. You start your book, American Betrayal, with a description of what happened in 1933. At the hands of Franklin Delano Roosevelt and the Russian foreign minister and the deal that was struck between the two of them in order to begin formal diplomatic ties between what was then called the Soviet Union and the United States of America. And Diana, it really began at the beginning, didn't it? Back in
yes.
1933. Talk a little bit about that.
Yes, well, this was the moment in time when Franklin Roosevelt recognized the Soviet Union, which had only come in some years earlier with the Russian Revolution and was dedicated to overthrowing by force, by coercion, by subversion, the rest of the world's governments. This was a signal moment in our history because it required us to pretend that the Soviet Union was a normal nation. And when you mentioned the list of conditions on which our diplomatic recognition rested, the main concern and the main condition was that the Soviet Union not support revolutionary activities in this country by any means, and that would include the Communist Party, communist agents, Soviet agents, and so on, which is exactly what the Soviet Union had already been doing and would only increasingly do. And so this, in a way, becomes the mechanism by which so much of this subversion is able to be manifested, because FDR had whitewashed Stalin in order to create this relationship.
Diana, just to flash forward, we are engaged at the moment, as you know so well, in a very aggressive search for some evidence that Donald Trump or members of his campaign at a minimum, or perhaps his transition team, engaged in improper contacts with the Russians. Now there's talk of his son-in-law having done so for purposes that are broadly described as somehow influencing the election or improperly acting with respect to our national interests. And the evidence seems to be still very much absent. At the same time that we are, it seems, at least the investigators seem studiously to be ignoring very dramatic evidence that's in hand with respect
yes.
to another instance of clear Russian intervention with the collusion of an American leader in the election of 2012. Talk a little bit about that, please.
Yes. Well, again, this idea that there is no evidence of a crime, there is no criminal predicate, as our friend Chris Farrell of Judicial Watch has been saying, for this kind of an investigation, there is no effect. We don't even know if there's cause. So this is where we are in terms of what is a very flimsy exercise that is essentially paralyzing Washington. And then we look at the 2012 exchange between Barack Obama, then president running for re-election, and then president of Soviet Union Dmitry Medvedev, caught by cameras having a discussion, a very explicit discussion. And we're not using of surveillance techniques, and we're not needing a FISA court or any of the rest. We've got film of a private conversation where Obama tells Medvedev that on issues, particularly including missile defense, he needs space from the Russians. Now, again, he's running for re-election. This is a very contentious issue, missile defense in Europe. And he actually says it's important for him, meaning Vladimir Putin, to give me space.
But which means,
yes, I understand.
Which
yes.
means intervening or not intervening or in some other way having an impact on the election campaign of Barack Obama. And in exchange for this, there's a very explicit quid pro quo. Remind us about that.
He promises, what happens is he promises Putin flexibility after his last election. This is my last election. I will have more flexibility after that point, at which to do what he and Putin agree to do. But he cannot tell the American people as he's running. This goes back to an earlier instance with FDR vis-a-vis the communization of Poland and so on, not wanting to move too quickly during his own election cycle or his own have his own political concerns with Polish Americans on the whole subject of Poland toward the end of World War II. And again, also having this notion that Stalin needs to understand American political realities. So this is something we've seen
in the past. There's a pattern here. Yeah,
there's a pattern here.
Certainly, at least, I think it's fair to say, on the Democratic side of the aisle, there's demonstrable evidence of it. And you know, just to put a fine point on this, I was talking earlier in the program with Congressman Rob Wittman about this missile defense test the other day. Fortunately, it worked. This, unfortunately, though, is a very limited system. And the reason it is a very limited system, arguably barely adequate to deal even with a North Korean threat or an Iranian threat, let alone what the Russians and the Chinese are capable of presenting us, is because of the kind of flexibility that Barack Obama exhibited towards the Russians in deliberately constraining that program. And it really, I think, is a fine point that needs to be placed on all of this. There are real national security costs to what Barack Obama did. And that, it seems to me, with all due respect to members of Congress, is what needs to be investigated. Diana, we have to leave it at that for the moment. Thank you, as always, for your great work at dianawest.net and for your appearances with us and the writings that you do at the Daily Caller and elsewhere. I know you will keep it up and come back to us again next week. Next up, we'll talk with Matthew Brodsky about Donald Trump's visit to Israel and where we are now with this so-called peace process. That and more, straight ahead. Thank you.